It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take on this Feel Good Friday. As Stephen A. said, we are crewed up today. Amari and Big Perk getting adjusted there. You good or you need some help?
No, I got it.
You're good?
It. You know what? You know what? I'm starting to be a pro at this right now.
Yeah, you are. Stephen A., of course.
Ain't that light?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that when I got off the plane.
Yeah. I figured that.
But this is a treat, Perk, to have you in the flesh. Oh, it's a special day. So let's get it.
That's right. Are you ready? You ready, big boy? Don't swing. You don't get to shrivel your face up in New York City, bro. You don't get to. You got to smile. You got to fake it. You got to act like you want to be here instead of that damn Southern California sunshine. You got to fake it.
I love New York.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good to see you, Molly.
Good to see you, too.
Notice how mellow he is? Mm-hmm. Good to see you, Molly. Good to see you.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go. This is what I hate. When I'm ready to go, then you go on, and then you tell me let's go. Get out of here. Jimmy Butler carries the heat to the Eastern Conference Finals, scoring 14 of his 32 points in the third quarter as Miami beat Philly 99-90 in Game 6 to reach the East Finals for the second time in 3 years. It marked another early exit for the 76ers, who lost Danny Green to a potentially serious knee injury early. Then watch James Harden take just 2 shots. In the second half, here's Joel Embiid on that very subject, not holding back.
I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, there are times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive.
What do you see with this team in the near future? You said you're going to opt in.
Yeah, we're trying to win a championship, and that's the goal. So, you know, whatever that looks like, to continue to build us individually, continue to get better, us as a unit, you know, continue to get to know each other, find out what works, what doesn't work, and things like that.
To be clear, you plan on still opting in?
I'll be here. Yeah, I'll be here. Whatever makes this team, you know, whatever allows this team to continue to grow and get better and do the things necessary to win and compete at the highest level.
You know, Amari, this is First Take, so we're going to be bold out the gate, but I'm going to make Stephen A. start. Stephen A., is Harden the reason the Sixers were eliminated?
Yeah, he's most of the reason why. This was one of the most atrocious performances by a star in NBA playoff history. One of the things that's hard about sitting in this chair and tackling these subjects, you see, because you make enemies. And why do you make enemies? It ain't for talking about their personal life. I don't do that. It ain't for getting in the stuff that's off the court. If you ain't in the police blotters or you ain't making headlines and stuff that everybody knows, I ain't got nothing to say. I'm talking about your game, the game that you put on display for millions of people watching on the tube and thousands of people in attendance. And because you say what you saw, with your own 2 eyes, people will hate on you because they're more concerned with their brand than reality. But I don't give a damn. I'm going to say it anyway. James Harden was so bad last night, it almost looked like he did it on purpose. 2 shots? Kendrick Perkins, I was just on with this man on Get Up a little bit earlier, man, and I'll say it to you again. On crutches, on one leg, James Harden could get more than 2 shots off in an NBA game. I don't give a damn how much slippage he has. You can attempt more than 2 shots. I don't want to hear anything about Doc Rivers. I know because I've spoken to numerous people. Plays were called for James Harden, okay? James Harden was the point guard, had the ball in his hands. James Harden had ample opportunity, motivation from the standpoint that Jimmy Butler was giving it to everybody, averaging 27, 7, and 5 for the series on better than 50% shooting. And then on top of it all, you had Joel Embiid, poor Joel Embiid, cracked bone in his face, messed up thumb. Like you said the other day, still hasn't fully recovered from his knee injury, but out there trying. Tyrese Maxey crying in the locker room post-game because it meant so much to him. He out there playing his heart out. And James Harden did literally nothing. In 22 minutes and 52 seconds. So when you look at it from that standpoint, there is no way around this. I smell something. It was so bad, I thought it was almost intentional. Mm. And I'm watching, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch Daryl Morey like a fine-tooth comb. I'm going to watch the Philadelphia 76ers with all I have because I want to see what they're going to do in the days in the next couple of weeks or so. Because let me tell you something, I'm looking for a coaching change. They're going to blame Doc Rivers for this. They're going to scapegoat Doc Rivers for this. Because remember, James Harden, in the post game last night, when asked about Doc Rivers, he said, next question. Next question. Didn't give him a vote of confidence, didn't do anything. We all know what that means. That means you don't necessarily want to play for that coach. And you pointing the finger at Doc Rivers and what have you. Doc Rivers, yes, do I think he did a good job? You're damn right considering the circumstances. Great job? No, because you didn't end up winning the championship. But should he deserve blame for this? Hell no. But he gonna get it because he's not the coach that Daryl Morey selected. Daryl Morey came after him. And obviously Daryl Morey had his sights set on James Harden. And it is what it is, guys. It was a bad, bad, bad performance. There is no way around it. And as far as I'm concerned, it was so bad, it looked. I'm not saying it is, because I don't know. It looked deliberate, Stat.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it did look intentional, right? Because it seems like James doesn't want Doc as a head coach. And he has history of, like, if he doesn't like something, he will shut down. And we saw last night that he shut down. And then the comments of saying, you know, next question in the post-game interview lets me know that he doesn't really agree with Doc being the head coach there. Mm-hmm. And so he shut down on this perk. And I think the ideal of it is that if that's the case, right, and you change coaches and you bring in Mike D'Antoni, what does that mean for Joel Embiid?
Mm. Go ahead, big boy.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I don't blame some of it. I don't blame part of it. I blame all of it on James Harden, right? Are we starting to see the pattern right now? Like, we go back to the Rockets days, okay? He get into it with Dwight Howard. Him and Dwight Howard don't see eye to eye. Dwight Howard out of there. All of a sudden, CP3 come in. Him and CP3 don't see eye to eye. CP3 out of there. Okay, Russ get there, Russ out of there. All of a sudden, he want out. He don't show up to training camp, and when he do come in, he's out of shape, force his way to Brooklyn. All of a sudden, he get to Brooklyn with his guy, Kevin Durant, a guy that them two hadn't been talking in years because James Harden wanted KD to come to Houston when the KD decided to go to Golden State.
Yes.
Okay, so KD says, you know what? Come join this. Let's make a run at it now. Gives up Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, who they can use, by the way. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, James Harden bounce on Kevin Durant. Forget the Kyrie Irving situation. It's a pattern going, right? And all of a sudden, you get to Philly. All of a sudden, you get to Philly. And now, all of a sudden, you quit. You quit on Doc Rivers. You quit. Two shots. You quit. You quit. Why? Because you want things to go James Harden way. And we're talking about a guy that's a top 75 greatest player of all time.
Right.
He need to turn in his
damn
shack.
I just have to say one thing. We're saying he quit. We're saying this was intentional to blow a trip potentially to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, we're certain about this?
No, because I feel that way because I didn't see this. This is a pattern, Molly. Sooner or later, if a person show you who they are, we have to believe them. Okay, and every single time, you don't just disappear like this and not be aggressive. You had a ball in your hands. Right. All the time.
Molly, let me explain. Let me elaborate on what Kendrick Perkins is saying just to crystallize this. When you are an offensive player, see, he was a defender and a rebounder and an enforcer. He was a scorer.
Yeah.
How long you been out of the league?
5 years or so.
Right now, if you walked onto the basketball court with zero training, could you take more than 2.5 shots?
Absolutely.
Without question.
Yeah.
When the point that we're making is we're not talking about you shot 4 for 30.
Yeah.
Mm. We're not talking about you scored 11 points. We're not even talking about the 22 minutes and 52 seconds you played in the second half. What we're saying is you had the ball in your hands. For you not to attempt but 2 shots is incredibly obvious and deliberate. There is no defense on the planet that could prevent an offensive player from attempting 2 shots while they're on the court with the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
You could jack up a shot, Molly. I mean, it's like somebody that gets into the ring with Mike Tyson. You might get knocked out,
But you're trying to tell me you can't run for 20 seconds? I mean, then you can run for 20 seconds.
No, I'm just saying we can't gloss over that because that's the ultimate criticism of a player to say they quit in the playoffs.
But let me tell you this. I think Kendrick Perkins, when Kendrick Perkins just broke down the history from Houston to Brooklyn to Philadelphia, I will say this. All right, I don't know that definitively. But James Harden is in no position to throw shade on Kendrick Perkins for what Kendrick Perkins just said because we spitting facts. And so when you look at it from that perspective, okay, now we get to Daryl Morey. Because you Daryl Morey, and the reason why I gave James Harden 90% of it, the other 10% I'm going to reserve for Daryl Morey. Why? We all know that Daryl Morey, regardless of what, I'm not saying it was an official offer, but there was a scuttlebutt. There was noise about a C.J. McCollum and a Robert Covington. Mm-hmm. Okay? You could have got those for James Harden. I'm sure there were other offers. The point is, everybody and their mother knew he wanted James Harden, which was why Sean Marks held out. Because he knew you wanted James Harden come hella high water. Doc Rivers is not the coach you hired. You came in after Doc Rivers was there. So you got your aspirations for your own system, your own coach, your own guy. James Harden, you were in Brooklyn. You know you said what you just said. You know why? Because you experienced it firsthand. So he wants out of Brooklyn because he wants to get with Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey is his guy that caters to him because we know how Daryl Morey caters to star players. That's right. And I'm not disrespecting Daryl Morey. I'm just spit facts. Daryl Morey has a reputation. Mm-hmm. He caters to stars. He caters to stars so much so that it's made coaches uncomfortable that other players that were less than stars have been ignored by him. But he loves James Harden, and we all know that, and James knows that. So, and then not only that, if you make the deal, it behooves you to look good. You can't trade for James Harden and send away. Yeah, Ben Simmons is one thing. But what about Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and 2 first-round picks? And in return, you get this version of James Harden? No. Mm-hmm. So what's the best way to enforce change? Success ain't it.
Right.
Failure is it.
And so Molly, like, think about what Stephen A. is saying right now. I want you to think about when James Harden arrived to Philly on the PJ. Who were the two people waiting on him? It was Daryl Morey and his wife. Nobody else. They the only two people that met him at the Jet. It wasn't Joel Embiid. It wasn't Doc Rivers. So when I look at last night in particular, I'm like, man, your big fella is 50%, if that, right? But he's out there giving everything and more that he possibly can. You go out there and you take 2 shots. But Molly, he has a history of
that. I believe you. No. I'm just saying, I just want to be fair because it's one of the worst criticisms. You both said it's intentional. You said it's quit.
I just wanted to make sure it's intentional
that we're standing by that because I don't know why the Sixers would want to keep him then if they have a player that's going to quit on them. And we don't even know if he can get it done in the playoffs.
And I don't think they should.
All right. And you don't. Go ahead. Elaborate.
And I don't think they should keep him because you know why? Him and Joel Embiid are 2 different people on 2 different agendas. Mm-hmm. We'll see James Harden in the next 2 weeks. We'll see him out with Lil Baby. Or we'll see him popping bottles in the club. We're not going to see Joel Embiid doing that.
Right.
Joel Embiid is in the lab getting better. Joel Embiid actually trying to be the best player in the world. Joel Embiid wants to win.
After they're home crying over the fact that they lost.
Yes. Yeah. Joel Embiid wants to win. I don't know that about James.
I think he misses Jimmy Butler.
Because let me tell you this. And Amari, look, he could attest to this. You have certain players in the NBA, Molly, that actually want to win and want to go out there and get a championship. And then you have certain players that are in regular season, do all that they can, get all the top money, the top dollars, and they just care about the lifestyle.
No, I get it.
So at the end of the day, I feel like him and Joel Embiid, they're not on the same mission. And I think Joel Embiid, what he said after the game, hey, we wanted them to be aggressive. Nobody told them not to.
So now then, what does Philly do from here now?
So now I think you have to figure that part out because are you going to get a full committed James Harden who want to be, like Perk say, you know, reaches full potential? Mm-hmm. Does he want to be the best player he can be? He's a top 75 of all time guy. So you would expect for him to be want to be.
He's suspended.
you would expect him to want to be like the top, you know, his top guy. And I don't know if he's going to be that. Now, am I giving him the benefit of the doubt that this summer he can train and get himself in shape and come back and be the old James Harden? Yes, but is that over the pattern or over the years, is that something he's going to do? We have no idea.
But Joel B doesn't seem to think he's still that guy based on the post-game press
conference. That's what I'm saying, but think about what you just said. James Harden is not a young guy. James Harden is not Tyrese Maxey.
Right, right.
James Harden is 33, 34 years old.
Absolutely.
What are we talking about?
If you haven't done it by now, then it's a little late at this point.
We keep saying that. Oh, man.
Yeah, but Kirk, what's the move then? What's the move for them to really contend? They've got the superstar in Joel.
James Harden turns 33 August 26th.
Yeah.
Look, listen, in my opinion, I say this, right? You got to keep Big Philly. Joel Embiid, he can't go nowhere. You keep Tyrese Maxey, and you find a way to move Tobias Harris and James Harden. That's just my honest opinion.
Let me say this. This is a bigger point that I need to bring up, and this is just personal and very, very passionate for me.
Okay.
And I want to put on Front Street why I've been so ticked off, whether it's Kyrie Irving, it's Ben Simmons, it's now James Harden. I don't think people, I'm not talking about you two, I don't think people realize the damage that they have done to the future of the league as it pertains to, you know, collective bargaining negotiations and how these players are going to suffer. Molly, you have Ben Simmons. That story we've touched on ad nauseum. Kyrie, that story we've touched on ad nauseum. Now James Harden. The owners usually only need one issue to buffer their point, to make sure that they streamline things just a little bit, trim things just a little bit, and get more structure and more discipline to make sure they're getting the bang for their buck. They now have three separate incidences or three separate subjects, three separate dudes to lean on. In Ben Simmons' case, you don't want to play at all. In Kyrie Irving's place, you want to play when you want to play. And in James Harden's case, you want to force your way out of one situation after another. Now, let's go back. Kendrick Perkins brought up Houston. What did Brooklyn have to give up to get Harden to Houston? That was Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. Prior to that, Dwight Howard didn't work. CP3 didn't work. Russell Westbrook didn't work. These are all moves that were made specifically because Harden wanted to. When they went to the conference finals, and then that next year they lost, okay, Harden went to the back room right in the arena at the Toyota Center and told Tillman Fertitta and the crew, I want CP3 out of here, okay? So they did what he wanted them to do. So you got those three incidences. So that's three players. Then you got two more in LeVert and Allen. That's five players. And then now – you Philadelphia, sure you got rid of Ben Simmons, and that's neither here nor there. But the Seth Curry's a young brother that can play. Andre Drummond is no scrub. Now, obviously, you don't want him defending in pick and roll situations, and he has his liabilities. But then he could grab you some rebounds. Plus, you gave up two first-round picks. There are bodies lying all over the place that's got James Harden's name attached to it.
Yeah.
And the owners are paying attention. They're coming for these players. And when these players have basketball-related income reduced, when pay for play is introduced, when you got a lockout that's taking place and the players are complaining about the owner's staunch position. Mm. I want everybody to remember this moment because they're going to look at Harden, they're going to look at Ben Simmons, and they're going to look at Kyrie Irving, and they're going to say, talk to them.
All right, let's leave it there. We're going to have much more on this, Perk. We'll discuss this more in the second hour. So obviously Philly couldn't extend it, and Phoenix couldn't close it out. So we're going to game seven. Luka Doncic in the Mavs. Talk about lopsided, blowing out Phoenix on their home floor, 113-86 in a game six. Dallas took a 15-point lead into halftime and just cruised from there, hitting 16 threes. Luka had 33, 11, and 8. The Suns, who are coming off a 30-point win in Game 5, couldn't get it done on the road again. Chris Paul had 13, Devin Booker 19, but missed all four of his threes. Here's Jason Kidd on what a special talent Luka Doncic is.
Elimination is, I guess, the big word you guys use. It's just another game for us on this journey. And our journey is to try to win a championship. Sometimes it ends early. Sometimes you're able to play to June. And I think he enjoys the moment. You guys have seen him a little bit longer than I have up close. The stage, he's not afraid of the stage.
Ari, you've had some glory days in Phoenix. Tell me this, sir. What are the chances the Mavs win a game seven in that city?
The chances are high. I'm concerned with Phoenix right now because they gave Luka Doncic a chance to eliminate them in Game 7, mm-hmm. right? And so what I've noticed with Luka is that I saw him play in Europe, in the EuroLeague.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing now is that he was able to somewhat establish his dominance at a young age in Europe and then come to America and play against the guys here. And you're seeing that confidence now in the NBA. Like, he's taking that same confidence he played in Europe here in the NBA, and he's dominating the game because his size and his IQ of the game is second to none at this point, right? So in elimination games, I just feel like Phoenix is now in trouble because of that. You know, Luka's a guy you don't want to have in elimination game seven. You can't stop him. He's a great playmaker. His precision is great, you know, in the plays he makes on the basketball court. So now I'm a little bit concerned with Phoenix.
Okay. I'm not concerned at all. Phoenix taking them out. I predicted Dallas was going to win last night, which they did, and I'm predicting that the Suns going to take them out in game seven. I ain't worried about it at all. Luka's going to show up. He going to do his thing. I'm not sold on Reggie Bullock, Spencer Dinwiddie, Max Kleber, and all of these guys. Jalen Brunson's a different animal. There's just a level of poise that you see with his game that I love. And I'm not knocking those players. I'm just saying they're different at home than they are on the road. Mm. And on the road in Phoenix, because their crowd is no joke either. That's hostile confines. I believe that Phoenix is going to take them out in game seven on Sunday. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it's a rout. That's where I'm coming with this. I hope I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I doubt it. I'm telling you right now, that's how I feel about this game. Now, I would want to say this. 1 week ago today, Chris Paul turned 37 years old. Coming into that birthday, we called him the point guard. That's what we said. And we know how great he is, one of all-time greats. I think I got to double-check this stat. Is it true what I heard, that the brother got more turnovers than field goals since then? Yeah. He's got like 18 turnovers to 14 field goals made in the last three games. This is not good. This is not good. And so as a result of that, he got to step up and remind everybody who the hell he is. Devin Booker's got to be that star we expect him to be. It's going to require a lot. But I think they got it in them.
The home teams are 6-0 in this series, so I do want to point that out. So yeah, the closeout game is in Phoenix.
Yeah, but they don't have baby LeBron minus the athleticism, and that's who the hell Luka Doncic is, okay? When I look at this man and I look at his killer instinct, I don't know how you don't appreciate it.
I do appreciate it.
That dog, that 90s mentality.
I think he's great.
That talking noise and he bite hard. Luka going to take his ball back. He going to hop over that fence. That sign they got, the beware dog sign, he going to hop over that fence and he might take the dog home. That's how special he is. He don't care. And so when I look at him, he has the capability and he is the best player in this series. Yeah. Oh, you agreeing now? Yeah. You remember you was tiptoeing. You remember Molly was tiptoeing the other day. You was straddling the fence.
I don't quite tiptoe like you. And we'll get into that later.
I
got to get you what I got. Hey, but listen, here it is. Look, he's the best player in this series. Yeah. And all I'm saying is this.
After last night, yeah.
You could struggle. You could struggle from the field. Phoenix, I mean, I don't know what DeAndre Ayton is doing at the moment. He should be dominating in the inside, but he's not.
They ain't getting him the ball enough.
But going into game seven with Luka Doncic, I'm taking Dallas.
Kendrick Perkins.
Wow, you're Dallas?
Yeah. I'm taking Dallas.
Dallas, and you're Dallas too?
No, I'm not. I didn't say I was taking Dallas. I just think that it's a difficult situation for Phoenix.
No, I'm taking
Phoenix in the game seven game, but I do need DeAndre Ayton to step up big time, and I do need Phoenix to give him the ball in the post, they can be dominant.
I've never seen you smile so much since you've been here.
No. He does smile a lot, but he is flaking a little bit. That's why that smile is on stage. I will say two things before we get out of this segment. Number one, Devin Booker will be the best player on the court Sunday, game seven. It won't be Doncic. It will be Devin Booker Sunday.
I
think Devin Booker might drop 40. I think he's coming, number one. And number two, if I'm wrong, there is a consolation prize.
What?
Dallas is not a bad city. I just think it's important to point out. And I'm not talking about them damn Dallas Cowboy fans. I'm talking about the city of Dallas. I love Dallas.
Oh, by the way, I heard you have a surprise for Dallas fans later in the show.
I don't know about that. Dallas is nice.
Okay. Dallas is nice. Way to kill my tease. you need to catch a flight. Nice it's been fun having you here.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Perk, you'll be right back. We need to deal with some NFL news at the moment. Booger McFarland will be joining us. All right, here we go.
Pitfall.
The Rams will host the Bills on September 8th in a Thursday night clash between the reigning Super Bowl champions and the Josh Allen-led Bills. Many have these two teams as the favorites in their respective divisions. Could be a potential Super Bowl preview. I know it's early, folks. It's May. That's not the only marquee matchup on our radar in 2022. Brady and the Bucks and Mahomes and the Chiefs headline several, including a rematch with the Bills. Russell Wilson, meanwhile, will head back to Seattle September 12th in what's expected to be his first game for Denver since the team's blockbuster trade this offseason. Booger McFarland joining us now. Boog, we got you. All right, we'll work on him for a second, Stephen A., but let's zero in on the toughest division.
Oh, yeah, he heard you. He heard you.
Oh.
What's up, man? What's going on?
What's the word, bud?
I mean, I'm just checking. I mean, it's early in the morning and stuff. You ready to go? Are you ready to go?
Hey, listen, if Brick is ready to go, then Booger is ready to go. Bet on that.
See, that's love.
There
right
we
there.
Go. That's what I'm right talking there. About. By the way, that's you know, Booger's already been on TV for like a couple hours. You do realize that, right? He was on Get Up.
It doesn't matter. Was he on First Take? It don't count until he's on First Take. It says First Take for a reason. You understand what I'm saying? Get Up! I get that. But First Take is First Take. I'm just saying. Let's go. I love First Take. I love Get Up. Greeny's my man. But First Take.
But Booger, it's one of those days, you get it. Boog, tell me this. Who do you view as the favorite in the AFC West right now, the toughest division in football?
Well, in the AFC West, it's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they have the best quarterback in the division, and I get it. I know there's going to be a lot of skepticism now that Tyreek Hill is in Miami. But Patrick Mahomes, I feel like for whatever reason this offseason, Molly and Stephen A., we have kind of forgotten a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. This seems to be the offseason of Brady coming back. You're talking about Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Like, we're talking about everybody else except maybe the most talented quarterback the game has ever seen. And I just think that you're going to get a motivated Patrick Mahomes because everybody's going to say, well, how are they going to do it without Tyreek Hill? How are they going to be able to manufacture those big plays? And I think that this guy is going to come out, and for the first time, maybe since the first time he stepped on the field, you're going to see a guy with something to prove, not only to himself, but to everybody else out there. So I think there is no question in my mind, Stephen A., that the team to beat in the West, it's got to be Patrick Mahomes, as long as that triumvirate of Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes is together, they have to be the team to beat.
Well, it didn't help him against Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game. I'm sorry, Booger McFarland. I think you just caught up in the sauce a little bit thinking about what they did over the previous years. I'm sorry. I think a new team has arrived in the AFC West, and their name is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
SoFi Stadium. The Rams ain't the only dudes that played here. The Chargers played as well. Excuse me. Let me tell you, Justin Herbert is no joke. They re-signed Mike Williams to a three-year deal. We know what they bring to the table offensively, and I think head coach Brandon Staley with his rookie self would be even better this year. Now that he got the he's a little bit too green, he'll be better this year. But let's go to the defensive side of the ball. The Khalil Mack, the Mack Daddy, correct me if I'm wrong, did he sign there?
Yeah, he's now there, yeah.
Okay. J.C. Jackson from the New England Patriots. Isn't he a Charger now? I mean, Kyle Van Noy, isn't he over there now? I mean, wait a minute now. I mean, I'm looking at the defense that's going to be vastly improved. I'm looking at a young quarterback who's a stud that watched Joe Burrow do his thing and said, wait a minute, what about me? Okay, I'm looking at Mike Williams still there in the crew. And I got to tell you, I saw how they gave the Chiefs a run for their money last year. I'm not sniffing at that. I think one of the great games last year was when the Chiefs beat them on Thursday Night Football. That was a thriller. Chargers ain't no joke. We saw what Justin Herbert did against the Raiders, how he kept coming back and forth, coming down. But unfortunately, the defense couldn't hold mustard. But now, that's no longer the case. I'm rolling with the Chargers in the AFC West. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to fall off a cliff and Patrick Mahomes ain't going to do his thing. But the loss of Tyreek Hill. And look, I don't give a damn what you got. I don't give a damn that Juju Smith-Schuster ain't going to be doing TikTok videos no more. I don't care about all that. McCole Hardman, I believe in the brother. He can ball. But I'm just telling you, It's the Chargers. Yeah. It's the Chargers I'm paying attention to. The Chargers.
Here's what you're missing, Stephen A. And for somebody that's as astute as you are, I'm very surprised that you're missing this. You're talking about a lot of individual pieces that have yet to be able to put it together and do it. You're banking on Brandon Staley, a coach that he coaches football like he's betting on blackjack in Vegas. You know what? Don't worry about it. Let's go for it on this fourth down. No, we missed that one. Let's go for it the next one.
I agree.
You can't coach football like that. And yes, they've gotten better on defense. The talent is better, but until I see these pieces fit together, their defense was terrible last year. It needs to be better. So, yes, the talent will help, but I have to see that. I've seen the Kansas City Chiefs do it. I haven't seen the Chargers do it yet.
Let me say something to one of the old heads like yourself, okay? The reigning defending Super Bowl champions are the Los Angeles Rams, coached by a guy named Sean McVay, who, by the way, his decision-making is impeccable. It truly is, but that's a different subject for another day. The point that I'm making is this. Sean McVay, okay, how old is that brother? How old is that brother? Excuse me, I don't even know if he's 40 years old yet. So Brandon Staley being young and making some rookie mistakes, I don't think that he'll do it a second year in a row. I think he may have learned the errors of his ways, and I think that he will modify that to some degree, Booger, and not make the same mistakes that he made last year, because they were pretty flagrant. They were pretty obvious. I don't think he'll do that again. So I believe in the Chargers, man. I believe that the Chargers with Khalil Mack, the Mack Daddy, along with Van Noy and CJ and JC Jackson. Listen, man, their defense is significantly upgraded. And I think the Chargers are going to take the West because of it.
Mm. They have the 10th toughest schedule in the NFL, but the Chiefs.
You know, the one thing I'll say, Stephen A, is that is it. Molly, I got one more thing. Stephen A is banking on Khalil Mack being the Khalil Mack from a few years ago. That's like Philadelphia banking on James Harden being the James Harden that he was in Houston. Maybe that player doesn't exist anymore, Stephen A. Let's not just go off of reputation. Let's not just go off of what you were.
Well, hold on, first, Booger can appreciate this.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I got Booger. Booger didn't see what me coming with this. See, Booger lives in the sunshine, in the Florida sunshine.
Yeah, smart.
See, in Chicago, it's cold and rigid, and every hit hurts just a little bit more. But when you get to warm weather and it's marinated a little bit, you understand? And you get to loosen up and sweat just a little more. I mean, it's a life-changing thing. It's a life-changing thing.
Are you like a reptile that needs to live in sunshine?
I'm not saying that Khalil Mack is going to be the Khalil Mack from years ago, but he's going to be significantly better than what the hell they had there last year. And that's what I'm banking on.
All right.
With Jackson, with Van Noy and those boys, I think they'll be better than what they had last year. And I think it'll be enough to upgrade this team.
We're out of time. Booger's coming back. Your Chargers, Stephen A., have 5 primetime games this season. Yeah, so we know you love Hollywood and the hype, so it makes sense you would go
Google
for them.
Google McVay. You'll understand what I'm saying about his decision.
Okay, I'll get right on that. I have a feeling you're being creepy, but I don't know. Brother.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Quick takes, let's get it. Stephen A., Tom Brady and the Bucks open their season where, you ask? At Dallas, and then back home to host the Packers and the Chiefs. Could Brady start off 0-4?
No, that would never happen. He'll figure out a way to win one, if not two, of those games. I'll tell you right now, I could see him beating the Packers. I could even see him beating the Chiefs. He could potentially lose to the Cowboys, or he could win. Depends on which Cowboys team shows up. But he'll probably lose to the Saints, because he always does in New Orleans, unless it's the postseason.
Yeah, I think we need to go to this Bucks-Dallas opener. That would be good for First Take. All right, we'll keep it going. To the NBA, we have a game
to Jerry about it.
Tonight in the Deer District. Why don't you talk to Dave Roberts, not Jerry? Where the Bucks will look to close it out and punch their second straight ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. As for Boston, who has a tall task ahead, Robert Williams will be questionable for this one. Big Perk, let's take a look back at your takes on a crowded Eastern Conference.
When I look at the team to beat, I'm looking down there at South Beach at the Miami Heat.
If I'm Daryl Morey and I had a chance to trade Ben Simmons right now and I could pair up James Harden and Joel Embiid, right, I'm doing it. They gonna be the ones to win the conference. I can't roll with the Boston Celtics no more. I'm going with the defending champs, the Milwaukee Bucks.
I got the Boston Celtics going to the finals.
I got them winning it all. The Boston Celtics, I'm riding with them to win it all. This is not breaking news.
You know why I want to give you props? You know, you really pay close attention. You're watching those games. You have the emotion, the passion, and you're just reacting to what the moment is and what you saw in that moment.
Yeah, but here's the thing about predictions, right?
Yeah.
Predicting games and series.
Right.
That
yeah.
You actually, it's almost like gambling and betting, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what another man is going to do or how he's going to show up.
Listen, I picked Philly. Look, I thought Philly was going to beat Miami, so I'm with you. And that's why.
It's all love, baby. It's all love. It's a lot of fun. Damn it, I'm wrong all the damn time. So what? You know what? You say what you feel based on what you see.
And then
we got to get you. We got to get you.
I done ran that back two times.
You did.
Yeah. But we didn't want anyone to miss it, Perk.
You did change your mind quite often this season. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to say. It's been
like
about
Perk,
six
what
times.
What if somebody missed the show? We had to make sure they covered it. But I'll tell you this. You have your Perkisms, my Mollyism. That's why you only bet on yourself.
Listen, man, we're still trying to recover from. We still trying to comprehend the Buffalo getting slapped in the backside with an onion board. We still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
I still don't understand it.
What you mean?
A Buffalo getting slapped in the backside with an onion board.
We was talking about the Golden State Warriors and them not being able to shoot the ball, right?
Right.
And I said that they couldn't hit a bull in the behind with an ironing board.
Yeah. I got it.
You can picture the visuals now.
Behind the boards wide, Bulls behind is wide, and you still
can
hit it.
I got it. Okay. So, Perk, we got the flashback. Listen, it was fluid for you. You were a little all over the place. But now the question is, can the Celtics, Big Perk, won a championship there. Can the Celtics still win this series?
No.
You just said 3 days ago they're going to win it all.
No, I know. And I thought game six was a crucial win for the Boston Celtics, and it's the way that they lost the game.
Game five, yeah.
And it wasn't because of game five. It wasn't because they gave it away. The Bucks went took it. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why I feel the way I feel. Mm-hmm. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's great.
He is giving me those LeBron James vibes. And when I say that, I mean like when LeBron James was in the Eastern Conference and you had the Toronto Raptors, who was the number one seed, but they just couldn't get past LeBron and the Cavaliers. Or when Derrick Rose won the MVP, or he was doing his thing in Chicago and them boys was doing their thing under Tom Thibodeau, they just couldn't get past LeBron James. And that's the way that I'm looking at Giannis Antetokounmpo right now. And we're talking about a game six tonight. Remember what he did last game six that he played in the NBA Finals, in that same arena.
Yes.
And so when I look at the Celtics and I'm looking at them play without Robert Williams, that means that the paint is going to be wide open. I understand Al Horford has done a wonderful job, but I think them losing that game, blowing that 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, I want the Celtics to win. I hope they win. But I got the Bucks winning tonight. They closing it out.
A couple of points that I want to make before I even get into what you just said and what my prediction is going to be. I love the fact that you brought up the Greek Freak. And I love the fact that you brought up LeBron. Because when we got into that, when I brought up that subject about future collective bargaining negotiations, dudes like that are who's going to have to come to the rescue to say, that ain't us. Mm. This is what we bring to the table. And the vast majority of NBA players, more than 90% of them, show up to work and care. But because you have those three incidences, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden that I pointed to, and you combine that with, you know, just guys like, I think only like five or six players have played every game this year. There's going to be ammunition that the owners have at their disposal. So I just want to put that out there. Having said all of that, getting back to the greatness of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the fact that he's just a treasure to this league because of his mentality and how he ain't trying to make no friends. He trying to win. That's his priority. And he's down with his dogs and everybody else's puppies. I get all of that. I give him a lot of love for that.
Think about this, Stephen A. He shows up at the game.
Yeah.
In the sweatsuit and black Air Force Ones.
That's right.
And if you know, if somebody pull up Molly in black Air Force Ones, you know what that mean in the hood.
There we go.
It's trouble.
It's trouble. So here's the deal. I still think they're going to lose tonight. I think that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, for the second game of this series, I could see Boston finding a way to win tonight and losing game seven back at Boston. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Milwaukee, even though I had the Celtics winning this in seven, I'll admit I got big time pause, you know, cause to pause now. Cause I can't, it's hard for me to fathom them beating Giannis two games in a row in this particular situation. But could they steal one and force a game seven back in Boston this Sunday? I could see them doing that. I could see them doing that.
Well, we're gonna see tonight.
And I'm picking Boston to win tonight.
What does Boston need to do to win tonight?
Well, one, I mean, when you look at what they did in game five, right? Mm-hmm. Think about this for a second. Everyone kept saying, against the Bucks, you can't get to the paint or you can't get to the basket. The Boston Celtics had 50 points in the paint. 50, okay? And then all of a sudden, they go back to settling for jump shots, especially Jason Tatum. Like, at one point throughout the course of the game, Jason Tatum had missed 10 out of his 13 shots outside the paint. When Jason Tatum is attacking, getting downhill, getting in the teeth of their defense, I mean, he's either getting to the free throw line, he's either making a poster, or he's either finishing around the basket. So, aggressive Jason Tatum, aggressive Boston Celtics team attacking the team, because I strongly believe it's fool's gold. okay? Especially when they go small and they take big Lopez out the game and they move Giannis to the five. I think they have a great opportunity of getting to the paint. But can I say this for a second? Think about this. We talked about Luka. Mm-hmm. We talked about Embiid. We talked about Giannis. And the other day we talked about Jokic, back-to-back MVP. Mm-hmm. The international players are taking over the game of basketball. I said that this summer.
It's a good point.
The international players has taken over the game of basketball. That's four players that are top in the top seven in this league.
What do you attribute that to?
I mean, just think. When I look at how they carry themselves, think about it. Jokic in his house working on his game. Embiid the same way. Mm-hmm. We know we ain't going to see Giannis nowhere like that. He might go to the grocery store. Luka Doncic is doing his thing. I think when you look at the dedication, I think when how they take their job serious.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful because Stephen A. talked about the collective bargaining agreement and how the owners are going to bring up that situation. What we need to be careful of is how teams are going to start drafting more international players.
Let me say this to you. I don't disagree with what Kendrick Perkins says. It makes me incredibly sad to say it because the vast majority of players in the NBA do what they're supposed to do. But the select few can ruin it for the many. Image-wise, the imagery is bad. I would repeat, owners only need one excuse to come at you. They got three flagrant ones. And when you look at these European players, let's think about that. When you talk about Giannis, you know who you're talking about? You talk about Greece. You talk about this brother coming over from there and being prideful about who he represents. You talk about Jokic. Remember when he got into that stuff with Morris? His brothers, they don't have no Twitter accounts. They created one just to say to everybody, look, he didn't start it, but he finished it.
Yeah.
It's over. Let's pump the brakes. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Let's pump the brakes. Let's not start anything here. His brothers opened up a Twitter account just to make sure everybody knew.
And showed up in Miami.
And showed up in Miami to let them know this is serving.
Yeah, different mindset.
You understand? I'm just saying that these brothers don't play now. You understand? You know, they let them know. You know, you want to know what real gangsters like?
Yeah.
Let me show you. They showed up from another country just to show up. We here. Don't think about that. When you think about stuff like that, you brought up Jokic, you brought up Luka Doncic. You're talking about. We talk about Luka needing to get in better shape. You don't see this brother just missing games for no reason. They care. They represent something more than themselves. And
Absolutely.
They understand anything they do wrong is a blemish, not just on themselves, but on the nation they represent. And they handle it accordingly. And that is a big thing.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Of course, it's also a totally different perspective growing up somewhere else.
Totally.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.